Second Chronicles 34. Got some verses here, and then a few in 35. And then two other places, I think, too. Is about Josiah. And his good works. He was a good king. One of the few in Judah. He was a good king. And he did a lot of great works for the people there in Judah, those that would come over from out of Israel there. Number one thing listed, as far as I can remember, which is about 5 minutes ago, but as far as I can remember, there's not but one thing listed of an error, mistake that he made that cost him his life. Nothing bad, again, as far as I can recall, nothing bad was ever written about him. But because of his desire and what he went about to do, our text comes from verse 15, where Hilkiah was talking to Shaphan the scribe, and he said, "I have found the book." So that is hopefully what the Lord will help with this morning. Not satisfied with where I am, but I couldn't get any further. So we'll see if the Lord will bless this to your hearts. Would you bow with me as we seek his face? Our Father, would you now, in your eternal mercies, catch our attention, focus it, center it upon Thee, the blessed Lord Jesus, the work that He accomplished at Calvary. And for that to be, we are in absolute need of Thy Spirit. I pray you would help the hearers. I do not know to how many that the book has been lost. But if it's pleasing, help them . And I would ask it to help that they might walk out in a better condition, a better frame of heart. Everybody's going to walk out differently. For all will meet Thee. And those that do not have hearing ears, they still will be affected. As one man gave an excuse for why he did not come here, was that if he goes to hell, he doesn't want all these messages to continually be ringing in his ears. It was not a good excuse, pitiful at best, but yet that's his thinking. Those here that all here will face it again. What we did with the Word of God, what we did as far as yielding to the Spirit, searching for His voice, longing for Him once again to have a word for us. A word from Thee, O God. Not something religious, but from Thee. We ask You again that Christ our Lord would be magnified. Thy great name honored. And the saints of God drawn nearer to Thee. And that someday we might see again the work of the Spirit in regeneration, in salvation, in conversion. Until then, O Lord, we will continue to ask these things until You tell us, as You did Jeremiah, do not pray for this people anymore. You haven't said that yet. So hopefully we will see the hand of God move again in our lifetime. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. As to the devotion, I sat there listening and a young man called this morning. Well, I say young, he's a few months older than I am. And he was weeping and he said, I have a question to ask you. Do you love the Lord Jesus as you want to? Of course, he knew the answer before he asked me, but he said, that's the longing of my heart, yet I cannot get there. I do not love Him as I desire. And I told him that the desire is always the beginning of a good work of God. Do you love the Lord Jesus? If you are converted, you did at one time. But we're not talking about one time way back. We're talking about now. All right, 2 Chronicles 34, beginning with verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 138 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, that started when he was 8, so best I can figure, he's now 16. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images. They break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Now, if you would go back in history a minute, biblical history, you will find in 1 Kings, a very wicked man had taken 10 of the tribes when Solomon was dead, Jeroboam. And he built high places and groves and altars. And one day he was told by a prophet that came along, someday there's going to be a young man that's going to be raised up, that's going to take all these bones of these false prophets, and he's going to burn them. Jeroboam didn't like that, and he reached forth his hand to grab him, but God smote him, and he had no use of that hand. But here is that young man that the old priest told about in 1 Kings 13 and following. Took the bones of all those wicked priests that had led Judah astray, and he burnt them upon their altars. Now, I told you that the text this morning is what Hilkiah said, I have found the book. And you ask, well, if the book was lost, how did Josiah know to do these things? Well, the book had not always been lost. It said that he began to seek the God of David, his father. Now, he's several generations down from David. But he's heard about, and possibly in times before the book was lost. No, he's too young. But he was taught. He knew that they were doing wrong there in Judah. He knew that they had strayed. And so he began seeking the Lord, and in that there was that inward direction of all the filth and the wickedness that was there. And he begins to purge the temple, clean it up. When he was 26 years old. Now look at chapter 35. We're coming back to 34. Chapter 35. Verse 16 tells you about them preparing and keeping the Passover. In verse 18, and there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. 26 years old, the temple has been cleansed. Sacrificial animals have all been brought there. And there's the greatest Passover that's ever been. As I said, the only thing that you can find that he did wrong was in verse number 22. He had been told by Necho, king of Egypt, don't come up. Leave me alone. Don't go fight with me. But verse 22, nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. And he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Now you can imagine, or you can know what took place. He was hit and shortly thereafter died. He chose the wrong battle, which if you're not careful, you also will get in the wrong battle. You'll be fighting everything around you except the right thing. That's our Lord's word, our Lord's house, our Lord's honor and his glory. Now you got to get involved in life and a lot of these things, but you get involved in the wrong battle and life will soon be over for you. I live with that dread. I've read and heard of too many that in their old days they departed from the Lord. Know some now, but I don't want to leave that testimony before you, which would make everything I've ever said of little value to you. But back in chapter 34, in cleansing the house of the Lord, he said, I found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And they come tell the king, and the king told them to go inquire. So verse number 22, chapter 34, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huddah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tekbath, the son of Hezra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man. Now folks, she is not dishonoring the king, but God would have him to know that first and foremost, he's a man and will face God. Now Jeremiah was a prophet also in this time, but Jeremiah was always traveling and he probably was in a distant place, and he sends to the prophetess. Now we're not going to get into that. Women preachers, I have no use for them in our day according to the New Testament, but it happened in the Old Testament and before, well, shortly thereafter in the New Testament. But he was not beyond, he was not above. He did not think that his position as a king limited him from submitting to a woman. He would hear from the Lord. It did not matter from whom. Now there are some spiritual women that I honestly believe walk with the Lord that might have a word in the home or someplace not in public for the man that they know. I'm not saying any of you, I don't know. But I'll hear from the Lord from whomsoever I can. Sit down a few times at the breakfast table up north with a dear lady in her 90s now, but I listened carefully as she would talk about the Lord and His Word and what He meant to her. I'm not above that. Anywhere I can, I will listen. So the king did not feel himself superior. I'm the king. I'm not going to any woman. Hezekiah, the king, sent to Isaiah the prophet. The prophet was always the number one instrument throughout all the history of Israel. And a good king would always submit himself to the word of the Lord coming from the prophet. Now we get to where we are today. And in our land, and I can honestly tell you for all intent and purposes, that the book of God, the law of God, has been lost. Not that there are no Bibles anymore. It's just that the one everybody owns is of very little value to them. You would be a different person if your Bible took precedence in your life. If you actually believed when you opened it that it was God speaking to you, that in all its precepts, guiding, directing your behavior, it's right, all of them, in all the promises, if you actually could believe, first of all, know who God is and believe in the person and character of our Lord, and when you ran across these promises from the beginning to the end, it would lift you above this old troubled world that you live in. And you could sit down in peace, and you could lie down comfortably and in peace. You could find, if this book was what it ought to be to you, you could find within a true friend counseling you. But we don't have that, do we? When we read the book, we don't have the Lord talking. We don't have the great I Am who fulfills all His word. We don't have those promises that we can lean on and say, that's specifically for me at this time. The book's lost. The Lord that actually inspired these words, all scripture, Paul writing to Timothy, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All of it. Everything written. So the Lord that inspired these words, that is Lord over all, every single person in the world. It does not matter what position they are in. The highest of authorities, He is their Lord. They can do no more nor any less than what He permits. If you could believe that, I'm hearing from God Almighty. I'm reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. When you come to that the Word of God, you could see the great physician. He'd make your bed in sickness. He'd cool your forehead in a high fever. When you within filled with sorrow, laden with burdens, you find him to be the great comforter. In turmoil, our Creator, Almighty God, who said, and it was so, and would just speak to the waves, be still, or to the wind, don't blow anymore, lie down. He would enable you to lay your head on your pillow at night, finding he giveth his beloved sleep. You don't have to take all these problems to bed with you, ruining your health, destroying your frame. He would provide the necessary rest. If that's not enough, he is the one that created the world. The world and all things therein were created by the Lord Jesus. If that's not enough, then you find him saying unto you, come unto me if you labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. If you do that, ye shall find rest unto your souls. And because this God who inspired the book is the God of great love that we'll never know here in life, and be learning throughout all eternity, because of that love, he set warnings in this book. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Let your face look straight forward, not behind, not to the side. Look ahead. Remember Lot's wife, pillow of salt, because she looked back to that place that she loved so dearly. Got to give it all up. Paul, Demas hath forsaken me. Travel with me. We've preached together. We've prayed together. But he's left. So have many that have filled the pulpits in our land. And it's not true that the literal word is lost. I mean, Bibles everywhere. You might have two or three lying around in your house. What's lost is, this is the word of God to me. The word's lost. The book's lost to you. And its familiarities has brought about an indifference. If they'd collect our Bibles or throw us in prison for not denouncing our faith or our Lord, all you got's your memory. How much could you recall there? But see, the old saying is so true. Familiarity breeds contempt. I honestly believe that the book that you hold has become what the Ark of God was to Uzzah, been in his dad's home for a good while now. And of course he had respect, for that represented the presence of God. But he'd been around it so much, passed by it on a daily basis. And as the days and the months passed on, though he never lost respect, he just became so familiar with it that when the oxen shook it, when it was on the cart, he put his hand to it. God said, "Don't touch it." And God smote him there. One little mistake. His familiarity cost him. Its value had diminished a little more with the passing of time. And so this book has begun to fade. It's lost its value to you. It's lost its richness to you. And it's lost that in our land. Prior to the middle of the 1900s, it began to become so familiar, and so many different translations hit the press. Back in 1969, Good News for Modern Man came out. They thought, we'll get it down simple so that everybody can understand it. You don't need it to be made simpler than it is. You just need the Spirit of God as your instructor. But they put in a few little subtle phrases or words, like when the virgin, that our old trusted book here speaks about, they put in a little maid, gave birth. Nobody would pick that up. I mean, they would read it so casually. A young woman had a child. Another thing about this book, it has fallen into the hands of the scribes, the great ones with intellectual minds. Oh, they can rightly expound it, but to them, it's not a spiritual book. They can understand it because they have the mental ability to do so. But even to us, because of all the different translations, and they've watered them down, so now the young people going out to pick up a Bible, they don't know. Which one do I get? Last time I was in a bookstore up in Anniston, which was 25 years ago, they had Bibles for young married, they had Bibles for young men, for young women, they had Bibles for women, Bibles for men. And folk just wanting a Bible would walk in, not knowing what to get. And so because of all that, the book has lost its relevance and its importance. And for all practicality, the book is lost in America. Scribes in the pulpit telling you, this is what it means. Just listen to me. Now turn with me to Luke 20. And I want you to listen to the words of our Lord. Verse number 45 and following. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, big audience there, but he only talked to his disciples. And he warned them, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at the feast. Watch out for these. They're just out there for a show. They're out there because in their minds they are important. They are the governors over the word and the house and the behavior of people. But he said they devour, verse 47, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Last week here, I hope you considered with me those that were hearing Peter and that had been guilty. By their wicked hands, the Lord of glory had been crucified. But these men had been raised in good Jewish homes. They had been taught. I mean, the Samaritan woman wasn't involved in them here. She knew Messiah's coming. So they'd been taught that the Messiah would come one day. I do not know how mom or dad or the scribes told them that his coming would be in great royalty. You'll be able to identify him because he's got this crown and he's in this decorated chariot. He's coming in great honor and great dignity. And because they did not know God or the Old Testament as they thought they did, they missed him. Because he did not come as they had imagined that he would come. They figured he was coming to deliver them from bondage. Well, we agree to that. But they were thinking about Roman bondage. We've been raised in a society and taught that we won't have to go through the great tribulation because our Lord's coming back to gather out the church before all this hits the world. It is not so, children. He's coming one last time. Maybe they had been raised as a loyal Israelite. And they looked at the Pharisees as good examples of what the children of God should be. Remember, the book's been lost for 400 years now. And their parents would tell their children that they should grow up to resemble the Pharisees. There's not a finer looking group of people in the world than the Pharisees, and hopefully they have been a good witness to you, and you'll grow up like them. These holy men, just look how dedicated they are. They walk down the street corner with verses attached to the hem of their garments. Listen to them praying on the street corner. Have you ever heard such? And then one day, our Lord told the disciples, "You beware of the scribes." And then one day, these heard the chief priest tell them, "Ask for Barabbas." You think these popular men in religion did not have a great influence upon their hearers? They went out and they did exactly what the chief priest told them to do. You go ask and scream out and yell out for Pilate to release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. These scribes and Pharisees put themselves out in front. Therefore, those raised in such a society of men so dedicated, tithe, long prayers, walk in such false dignity and arrogance, demanding, all look at me and follow me. Why shouldn't the young people believe and want to be like them? What was there to stop them when they said, you fellows go out and you ask for Barabbas to be released? These were God speaking to them. They had been told that these were the great authoritarians, those that are in position where they can enforce strict obedience. Well, don't we have that today? I've heard it, and I assure you, or pretty sure that you have. Well-known preachers. Take a little child and say, you believe this? Yes. You believe that? Yes. You say this, repeat after me. They do. And he says, I guarantee you that you are now saved. Not a bit of difference in that than the chief priest demanding the release of Barabbas. Neither these men nor the majority standing in pulpits today, they don't have the Spirit of God directing them, the books closed to them. These are those that Peter called unlearned. They that are unlearned and are unstable, they rest, means to twist the scripture unto their own destruction. They think they know God because they know facts. But facts are not God. Truth inspired by God to set before you is not God. It is directing you to Him. They twist. As the old novelist in the 1800s said, he said, I used to judge the worth of a person by his intellectual power and attainment. I could see no good where there was no learning. Now I think one has to distinguish between the two forms of intelligence, that of the head and that of the heart. And he said, I am persuaded that of the heart is far above intelligence of the head. Does the book have a word for your heart? One last, Matthew 27. See, those men had the respect of their hearers. In Matthew 27 and verse number 20, but the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The chief priest, the preachers. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said, well, what am I supposed to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. Do you see that it was no wonder that those men were persuaded by the chief priest and by their wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory. Why shouldn't they obey them? They had great learning. They had great teachers teaching them. Now look what happened to them when Peter told them, all of you did this, but there's not a one of you here today that can leave without hope if you will repent and be baptized. Christ told us to start here with you. You have hope. That day 3,000 of them were added to the church. Now follow those 3,000 home and see what happens when they pick up the scriptures. The book is found. Before they were told what the scriptures said. They were told how they were to act and behave. Now they read, it's not the chief priest, it's not the Pharisees, it's not those that sit in high places talking to me. The book had become what it had never been before. They'd been converted. And of course, the book now has special meaning. The book is found, and for the first time ever in their life, they hear God talking. And they read of the Old Testament sacrifices that were offered. They know that couldn't take away my sins. And do you see how Peter connected them to the chief priest and following their advice? Ye have denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You did that because you listened to the priest. Now you never read the book for yourself. And the chief priests were following only their intellectual perception as the final authority of what the scripture taught. And persuaded others to follow them. What if one day you pick up your Bible and for the first time ever you find the book? Or sitting here, you've discovered the book. They found it when they were cleaning the house of God. Hilkiah found the book. Go tell the king. King said, go find out what's going to happen to us. And she said, you're going to go down to your grave in peace because you've lived to honor God. Folks, is there not something greatly amiss in our land? We've got more churches and larger churches than ever before. We've reached through the ministry of these untold millions. There are more Bibles probably here than many other countries combined. Yet wickedness abounds. Government is purposely dividing the people. Everywhere you turn, they're making divisions. Do what I say. it is now okay for a male to change to a female, vice versa. It is no longer proper to use the pronouns him, her, she, he, and they're changing all that. They have gone so far as now to say it's not right to say a birthing woman. And these, pardon me, but I mean every bit of it, idiots claim men can now have babies. What's wrong? We got more Bibles everywhere. Large churches have converted thousands upon thousands. Have ministries to go throughout the city handing out the gospel. Yet now they claim that every one of us has got to accept same-sex marriage. You've got to, or you're a bigot. Now, I like to watch those old movies, and I have been amazed to find at the beginning just some of the old good Westerns. They have a disclaimer at the very beginning. This contains time-sensitive material. Viewer discretion. We've gone crazy. Why? We've lost the book. It's gone. The God of the book. Nobody believes in that God anymore. No one. Oh, we've got a lot of Bibles, but we don't have the Holy Spirit to open it. Many places today it will be expounded, and rightly so. But they put it across dependent upon man's mental ability to understand. And what if one day the Spirit of God introduces me to the Lord of glory in his book? Would not that be me finding it for the first time? Or you? There's such a lack of sincerity and seriousness today about a book divinely inspired. Oh, it's occasionally picked up, but because its value has decreased, it no longer is a priority in our lives. One of Job's supposedly three friends, and they were wicked men, religious men. I challenge you to find one thing that they said about God that was incorrect. Everything they said. But they said to Job, "What do you know that we don't know? I mean, we got some here older than you." But neither of the three had any discernment. And every one of them accused Job of having sinned greatly against God. Because God doesn't do that to his children. By their knowledge, Paul had to be a great sinner. But what about Christ? suffered the greatest. They had some portion of scripture, but it would have done them no good had they had 66 books. They didn't have the spirit of the word directing them. Now, children, we've been told that the letter, that's this right here, of the law killeth. It is the spirit that giveth life. The words Jesus said that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I hope you'll find the book. And you'll find then the God of the book.